Well, in your bulletins, if you look there, it says, and I don't have mine, it says John 3:16, and it says Pastor Joe Fout preaching. I am not Pastor Joe Fout, but why don't we go ahead and start with John 3:16? I'd like you to take your Bibles. Open with me, please, to John chapter 3, verse 16. This is where we'll start. And while you're opening, I'm sure you can quote it with me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's okay if you had slightly different words. Some of us memorized that in the King James. Some memorized that in the New King James. Some in the New American Standard. It's okay. They all say the same thing. This verse, John 3:16, is really something that Jesus Christ said at night to a man named Nicodemus, who no doubt thought that he was on his way up there, as the kids would say. But when he came to see Jesus at night, he told Jesus, in verse 2, "We know who you are. Rabbi," he said, verse 2, "we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. No one can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him." So we know that you are a teacher sent from God. Is Jesus Christ a teacher sent from God? Yes. Is he merely a teacher sent from God? No, he is not. Jesus went on to speak many deep truths to Nicodemus, truths which Nicodemus did not understand. And then Jesus spoke these words, verse 16, which we all just quoted, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Who is the only begotten Son of God? Jesus. Nicodemus did not know that night. The story goes on to record, the history goes on to record, that most likely Nicodemus did come to understand that. This verse, of course, tells us something about God, that there is a God in heaven. There is one God, for God so loved the world, and that God is a God of love. And demonstration or proof, evidence of God's love for us is that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. But this verse, John 3:16, also tells us that there are two ends for people in this world. What are they? Notice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. But perishing is one of the ends for people in this world. The other one is what? Eternal life. I want to deal this morning with the question, what happens when we die? That is a very important question for every one of you to consider. For some of you who are young, it may seem, well, that's a long ways off. I don't need to think about what happens when we die. For others of you, you may think, I just don't want to have to deal with that question at all. But you know, the Bible says that life is very brief. James asks the question, what is your life? And then he answers it. He says, it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Your life is very brief. Anyone who is older and wiser will tell you that it passes by very quickly. And death is very sure. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men, that is all mankind, to die once, and then comes the judgment. It is appointed unto all men to die once. Life is brief, and death is sure. The Bible also teaches that tomorrow is uncertain. Do not boast thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You can try to predict it, but you wouldn't bet your life on it, I hope, because none of you can accurately predict what will happen tomorrow. And for these reasons, this question, what happens when we die, is one that you would be wise to consider and reconsider often. Solomon said that it is better to spend a day in the house of mourning than it is in the house of feasting. Why? Because that, meaning mourning, death, is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. I want you to take to heart this morning this question, what happens when we die? And to make it very personal, I would like you to consider, what will happen when you die? What will happen when you die? Now, there are many places you might go for an answer to that question. You might go to a book written by a four-year-old who tells stories of what he saw in a bad dream, probably after a big bowl of ice cream. Who knows? There are books written by other people who say that they have been to the other side and back. Listen to what I have to say. Read my book. Watch my movie. I will tell you that Satan has many ways in which he seeks to deceive you concerning the truth on eternal matters. The one trustworthy source that has withstood the test of time is the Word of God. And God, in His love, has given you His Word to tell you what happens when we die, and to tell you about what will happen when you die. And in His love, He wants you to think about that today. Before we get to the answer, what is death? What is death? Death is the separation of your spirit from your body. It is the end of life in this age, but it is not the end of conscious existence. That is a terrible definition. Death is not the end of conscious existence. Death is the separation of your spirit from your body. In the book of Genesis, when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob passed away, in the older translations it says they yielded up their spirit. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, Solomon talks about no man has power over his own spirit in that day. And Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, he said, Father, into thy hands I what? Commit my spirit. And James says in James 2:26, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. But the body without the spirit is dead. Death is the separation of your spirit from your body. And so the question, more precisely worded, would be, what happens to your spirit? Or what will happen to your spirit when you die? And the answer, based on John 3:16 and the surrounding context, is it depends. It depends. What will happen to your spirit when you die? What happens when we die? John 3:16, the verse that many of us just quoted, the answer from that verse is it depends. And it depends on whether or not you have been born again. It depends on whether or not you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, probably not wanting the other Pharisees to know what he was doing, he came not asking Jesus a question. He came declaring, we know who you are. But he was wrong. Because what he declared, Jesus knew what he meant in his heart, what he declared was, we know that you are merely a teacher. And Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, you can bank your life on this. Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot go. His spirit will not enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't understand. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What's the answer? No, he can't do that. and yet he must be born again. So it has to be some other way than going back into your mother's womb and being born again. So Jesus answered, verse 5, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The first time you were born of the water. Her water broke. Your mother's water broke. And you came out and you were born of water. But the second time must be of the Spirit. And unless one is born that second time or from above of the Holy Spirit of God, of a work of the Spirit, there is no way he can enter into the kingdom of God. So, again, I come back to this question. What will happen to your spirit when you die? And in a group this size, most likely, there are two kinds of people. There are those of you who have never been born again. God knows. I cannot look at your face. I cannot look at your clothing, nor can anyone else. And I cannot even look at your life to know for sure whether you have been born again. And so I want to address, first of all, those of you who have never been born again. You've not repented of your sins and trusted in Christ. You have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not, as Peter says, repented for the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you have not been baptized. Maybe you have been baptized, but you still haven't been born again. You have not been born of the Spirit. What will happen to you? And what will happen to those who have not been born again? Jesus, in his love and in his grace, gives a very vivid account of this in Luke 16. I'd like you to turn there. Luke 16. Just before John's gospel is Luke's gospel. And in chapter 16, speaking to his disciples and to the Pharisees, who we're told, just before the story about the rich man and Lazarus, we're told in Luke 16:14 that the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and derided him. Jesus had just told to a large group of people, his disciples and the Pharisees included, he had just told them in verse 13, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." It's impossible. Either you're serving God or you're serving money. You're not serving both. You can't serve both. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, they heard this and they derided him. Jesus then, beginning in verse 19, tells this story. Some would say it's a parable. I would say it is not a parable. Because he does not say something like the kingdom of heaven is like, and he also uses proper names. He tells this, what I would say, account. Verse 19. And the question is, what will happen to your spirit when you die? And I'm speaking to you who are like this rich man who never repented. "There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day." We're told about his wealth. He was rich. We're told about his wardrobe, clothed in purple and fine linen, only the best clothing. And we're told about his lifestyle. He fared sumptuously every day. It's not a sin to fare sumptuously, by the way. If you look back in Luke 15, this same terminology is used of the father when his prodigal son returned. It's the word for celebrating. There are occasions for celebrating. 4th of July, we celebrate. Christmas time, we celebrate. Your prodigal son comes home, you celebrate. There can be a righteous celebrating. But this rich man fared sumptuously every day of his life. This is the party guy. His life is nonstop party. I just eat heavily, I celebrate every day. Every day is a feast. The opposite would be to work. The opposite would be to serve God. The opposite would be to sacrifice for the sake of others. The opposite would be to do something with your life for other people besides yourself. No, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and here's his way of life. He fared sumptuously every day. Verse 20, "But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate." I don't know who laid him there. Somehow he got laid at this man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. It doesn't say he never was fed, but apparently he wasn't. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I'm not sure why we're given that. Perhaps the dogs did more for Lazarus than the rich man did. At least they tried to help him in some way. I don't know. We're not given a lot of details here about the rich man or Lazarus, other than that one was rich and partying every day, and the other one right outside his gate was ignored. But both died. It is appointed unto all men to die once, and then comes the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. They both died. Verse 22, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Two different ends. What happened to the poor man's spirit? Well, angels came and carried him away to some place called Abraham's bosom, which we'll talk about in a moment. The rich man also died and was buried. So did he cease to exist? No. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades. What will happen to your spirit, and I speak to you who do not believe in Jesus Christ, who have never been born again, what will happen to your spirit if you don't repent and believe in Jesus Christ? You will go to a place of conscious torment called Hades, according to the word of Jesus Christ. That's what will happen. He tells this story so that you will know. He told this to the Pharisees so that they would know. And being in torments in Hades, a real place, the place of the departed dead, but not of Lazarus' spirit, right? He was carried off to Abraham's bosom. So here, the place of the spirits of certain ones. The rich man, being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He was conscious, he was alert, he was aware, and he could see Lazarus is up there, as the children say, and I am down here in torments. And notice, he cried, verse 24, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torments, I am tormented in this flame. What will happen to your spirit when you die if you are not in Christ, if you have not repented and trusted Christ for salvation? Well, the answer from John 3:16 is you will perish. But here, that is being graphically depicted. And here's what that means. Your spirit will go to a place called Hades where you will suffer torment, and you will not be able to relieve yourself of that, nor will anyone else. The rich man is crying out for relief from his torment in Hades, but he can't dip his finger in water and cool his tongue, and neither can anyone else. Conscious torment from which you cannot give relief, nor can anyone else. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, notice, this was a son of Abraham. This was a Jew. This is someone who surely thought that because of his birthright, maybe because of his circumcision, surely he thought that he should be with Abraham. But he's not. And Abraham said, verse 25, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. Did the rich man enjoy good things in life? Yes, he did. And it was very merciful of God to let him. And are there rich people who have no trust in Christ, who want nothing to do with him, who enjoy good things in this life? Sure. They enjoy good things in this life. And Abraham reminds him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. What happens when we die? And what will happen to your spirit when you die if you die without Christ? Your spirit will go to a place called Hades, where you will suffer torment in a flame. No one will be able to come and help you, and you will not be able to escape that place. There will be a great gulf fixed. And you know, as I say this, I fear and I feel as though there's a great gulf fixed between me and you whose hearts are hard. Because I can't come into your heart and make you repent and believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. And you can't be where I'm at. This is what will happen. Verse 27, then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, this is the rich man in torments, begging Abraham. I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. This is the rich man in torments in Hades, begging that Lazarus could be sent to those relatives he left behind. This too is what will happen when you die. You will be in torments, but you will be aware that you have loved ones who are still alive on the earth, and you will never want them to come to where you are. I beg you therefore, Father, verse 27, that you would send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that Lazarus may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Let Lazarus, who is obviously risen from the dead, go to my remaining loved ones and tell them so that they might repent and not come here to this place of torment. This is what will happen when you die if you die without Christ. You will be tormented by conscious thoughts. You will be tormented by flame, but not consumed, not annihilated, as some false teachers proclaim. Verse 29, Abraham said to him, now this sounds cold, but Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Moses and the prophets. They have the scriptures. They have the scriptures. Moses and the prophets talk about eternal life. Moses and the prophets talk about fearing the Lord and putting all your trust in Him. And Abraham says, they have the scripture. They have the word of God. Verse 30. The man is arguing with Abraham. And he said, no, Father Abraham, no. But if one goes to them from the dead, then they'll repent. Why is he afraid? No, I know they have Moses and the prophets, and I know they haven't believed the scriptures. Apparently that wasn't enough. They need something more. They need Lazarus to go. But Abraham responds, verse 31, but he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, if they do not listen to the word of God and repent in response to that, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Even someone rising from the dead will not persuade your hard-hearted relatives who have not listened to the word of God, only adding to the torment of the rich man in Hades. Is that the end of the story? No, it isn't, actually. Turn to Revelation 20. And the question I'm asking you to consider, and I'm speaking to you whose hearts are hardened, who have never been born again, you have not trusted in Christ, you've rejected the gospel, and I'm telling you what will happen to your spirit when it's separated from your body at the end of this life, and you don't know when that's going to happen because no man knows. Revelation 20 tells what the end of that will be. The rich man's spirit was in Hades. And here we are told again about what happens with Hades in the end. Revelation 20, verse 11, the very last page of the Bible, or second to last page. Then I, this is the Apostle John, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No place for the heavens and the earth. The great white throne because God is great. The great white throne because He is pure and holy and just. And a great white throne because He is the judge of the living and the dead. I saw the great white throne, the throne of Almighty, holy, righteous God. And I saw Him who sat on it. And earth and heaven fled away. Why? Because this earth and this heaven are temporal. And there's coming a day when this heaven and this earth will pass away. And I saw the dead, verse 12, the small and great. That means those whose spirits had been separated from their bodies, and you're going to see where their spirits are. I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before God. Obviously doesn't mean they're unconscious, doesn't mean they were annihilated. These are people who had not been risen to life in the first resurrection. You could read the earlier verses. There is a resurrection to life of those who were in Christ. who will be at the millennium and in the kingdom. This is the resurrection of the unrighteous, of the wicked, of those who rejected Christ. I saw the dead, small and great, that means all of them, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. There's something you'd never want, to be judged according to your works. If any one of you had all of your works of your life here on the screen before us, I dare say every one of you would hang your head in shame. If we could see everything you did as a young teen, as a young man, as a young woman, if we could see right now with our eyes, publicly, the things that you have done, the things that you have said, the things that you have thought, I dare say, if it were your deeds here, you would hang your head in shame. I would. I would hang my head in shame for you to see the things that I did as a youth and some things that I have done in my life. You never want to be judged according to your works, but that's how these will be judged. Why? Because they have no Savior. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Yes, there are books where all your deeds, thoughts, and actions are written down. Verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one, every single one of them, judged according to their works. Verse 14. Then death and Hades, death the state, Hades the place, death the condition, Hades the location. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life, elsewhere called the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. What will happen when you die? The answer is it depends, based on John 3:16. And it depends on whether or not your faith is in Jesus Christ. And for those whose faith is not in Jesus Christ, for those who have never been born again, the Bible teaches in the two places I just said, Luke 16 and Revelation 20, that what will happen is you will perish. What that means is not that you will be annihilated or that you will become unconscious. What that means is your spirit will go to a place called Hades, a place of torment. And in the end, you will appear before God at a great white throne judgment. You will be judged according to your works. And then you will be thrown into a lake of fire. Where elsewhere it says, torment goes on forever and ever. Elsewhere Jesus says, often there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I heard someone say, having preached this, they said, it gives me no pleasure to tell you this. I say, it gives me pleasure to tell you this before it's too late. It gives me no pleasure to contemplate any one of you going there. As I said, this is like a family reunion. And even when visitors come, I say, praise God, welcome to our family. Oh, be part of our worship. You are welcome here. We want you to know Christ. We want you to worship with us. And it gives me no pleasure to contemplate even a visitor or any child or even any one of you who may be in rebellion. It gives me no pleasure to contemplate any one of you ever going there. But it gives me great pleasure to tell you that all of this that I just told you is true unless. That's like saying, if. It's only true if you don't repent, but if you repent and believe in Christ, you will be saved. Why would God tell you about perishing? Why would He tell you about torments? Why would He tell you about the lake of fire? And why would He bring you here this morning into this place? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, even somebody who came in today on July the 6th, 2014, whosoever, even somebody who's been resisting and rejecting and rebelling until they're 50, 60, 70, 10, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I say to you who are here today, who have never been born again, I say, I beg you, be reconciled to God today. I beg you, humble yourself before Almighty God, even now, right where you're at, and say, Father, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I don't want to go to Hades. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. And I tell you what, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will never be put to shame. Give me just a moment to speak to you who have been born again. Because this is the good news. And we have communion coming. And I'm going long. But let me speak to you who have been born again. You who by the grace of God have humbled yourselves at some point in the past and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord." You who have been born again. You who love Christ. You who know Christ. You who are rejoicing to hear me even proclaim the truth about eternal damnation because you know that it's in love for those who don't have Christ. Let me speak to you. What will happen when you die? None of what I just told you. You will not perish. Your spirit will not go to a place of torment. You will not suffer the flame. You will not be called before the great white throne to be judged according to your works. You have already passed out of death and into life. There is no judgment ahead for you. No judgment according to your works. Not like that. No judgment that determines your ultimate destiny. There is a judgment that determines what level of reward. But I tell you this, your reward is already great in Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1, Paul tells us, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about what waits, but I tell you this, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians 5. Jesus, when he prayed before he died, which is recorded in Psalm 16, he couldn't wait to what was coming after death because he said, "In your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore." That's what's going to happen to you. And Paul in Philippians 1, he says, "For me to live is Christ." That's to live on in this flesh, in this body, is to live for Christ, to know Christ, to lay down my life for Christ. And then to die is what? Four words, begins with G. Gain. What will happen when you die, you who are in Christ? Gain. Nothing but gain. And then he says, "For if I live on and labor in the flesh," that'll mean fruitful labor, "but I'm hard-pressed between the two. I don't know which to choose because I desire to depart and be with Christ," which would be, now I'll test you, which would be A, better. Not just better. Which would be far better? A lot of English translations say that. Not quite right. Way far better. Better than the best you've ever experienced in this life. That's what awaits you when you die. And why do I tell you? For your joy. For your joy. What will happen to you when you die if your trust is in Jesus Christ and not in you, not in your works? What will happen to you? You will depart this life. Your spirit will go instantly, immediately, not through purgatory, not through a little time of purification. No, your spirit immediately will go to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there will be fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you tell us what happens when we die. We thank you that you warn us about perishing and about Hades and about torment and the lake of fire. Thank you that you warn us. Father, I pray for anyone in this place who is without Christ, and I beg you, Father, be merciful. I beg you, soften their heart. Let them not leave today without Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Let them not doubt. Let them put all their faith, all their hope and trust in Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and his rising up from the dead. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.